RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can also listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz. Or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id. Hello, my listener. Welcome back to English Bulletin over RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. In today's edition, we'll bring you our program summary for today. First, we'll bring you our news, followed by press review, today in history, focus, and news in brief. We'll continue our next program with Indonesian Wonder and Miscellany. We'll conclude our program for today with Music Corner. That was our program summary for today. Stand by now for the news.
Voice of Indonesia with the news.
Here is the news read by Rahmana. First, the headlines. Surabaya discusses rules related to foreign medical workers. Philippine fishermen allegedly use Indonesian IDs. Now the news in detail. The Surabaya City Legislative Council Special Committee for Drafting Bylaw on Health will soon deliberate on the rules of regarding employment of foreign medical workers at the city's hospitals. The rules are incorporated in the draft bylaw, which is being deliberated at the Legislative Council. Chief of the committee, Kusnul Kotima, said in Surabaya, East Java on Wednesday. She also stated that Surabaya will discuss the rules, including the period for which foreign medical workers can be allowed to work and the number of times their work contracts can be extended. She also make it clear that as long as the need for a special doctor is not met, they will be allowed to work in the city. She expressed the hope that local medical workers studying at home and abroad on government scholarship will be willing to work in Surabaya. This will help meet the need for special doctors in the city. As per the medical profession rules, those pursuing higher education on government scholarship must dedicate themselves to their respective region. Maritime Affairs and Fisheries Minister Susi Pujastuti says that she is investigating the alleged use of Indonesian identity cards or KTP by Philippine fishermen to fish in Indonesian waters. She also states that investigation into the case is almost completed and those allegedly involved in such activities had been arrested. In addition, she noted her minister also found that some of the accused had changed the fishing vessel documents and even the status of the fishing boats, showing them as special owned by locals when in fact these were foreigner owned. Minister Susi revealed that all related facts had been collected, including transcript recovered from the fishermen. Disaster challenges in Indonesia will increase. Head of Data and Information of the National Disaster Mitigation Agency, BNPB, Sutopo Purwonugroho, said if only reliant on the National Disaster Mitigation Agency and the community support, it is not enough to cope with the disaster in Indonesia. At the workshop with the team, the rule out private sector responded to global issues held in Jakarta on Wednesday. Dr. Fitch Sutopo said that the rule of business in disaster prevention needs to be improved. He also pointed out that the rule of business after disaster has been very good, but the pre-disaster assistance needs to be improved. If for emergency response activities, I think the rule of business and the community has been outstanding, but usually at the time of pre-disaster emergency, especially after the transition, it is usually very minimal. Well, this should be fixed together how we put forward in the pre-disaster activities.
Bagaimana kita mendepankan dalam kegiatan-kegiatan prabencana? Kalau tak berlebihan, saya rasa mencukupi, Pak.
Furthermore, Sutopo Purwonugroho said the Minister of Finance and the Minister of Environment and Forestry have stated that according to the budget, they can rehabilitate only 300,000 hectares of forest and land per year. In fact, the land degradation reaches 1.5 million hectares per year. Of the 300,000 hectares were rehabilitated, only 150,000 hectares were successfully rehabilitated. Sutopo hopes that in the future there will be foreign business agencies in disaster response for BNPB to invite business to fix damaged water set. Chairman of Foundation for Development of Human Resources in Science and Technology, or Yayasan SDN IPTED, Wardiman Jojonegoro in Jakarta on Wednesday encouraged the Indonesian government to continue to make efforts to develop research in Indonesia. He said Indonesia currently has many qualified researchers, no less than other countries, but their existence needs to be supported with good facilities in order to be able to work and develop science. He further said Indonesia has currently around 4,000 universities, however only 10% has a good quality. Such number, according to him, has not been able to accommodate students with high academic skills.
Kita berkembang, dan saya lihat pemerintah sekarang mulai sangat-sangat.
We are developing, and I know that the government has paid more attention to this. Of course, we cannot compare to other countries. It was about facilities of each university. The good university, which only 10% are less to accommodate the number of our good students. Those facilities include the building, lecturers, and laboratories. We still cannot compete foreign countries in terms of lecturers and laboratories.
Khusus di dosen dan laboratorium itu yang belum bisa menyamai luar negeri.
Furthermore, Wardiman Jojonegoro appreciated the assistance of Research Technology and High Education Ministry as one of Indonesian government attention towards development of students and education quality. According to him, the government should pay more attention to develop national education budget to be able to compete with international university in providing a better high education quality. Foundation for Development of Human Resources in Science and Technology compares Habibie Award to four scientists who have contributed to the development of science, technology, and culture of Indonesia. Foundation Chairman Wardiman Jojonegoro said in Jakarta on Wednesday that the Habibie Award is given to individuals or entities that are considered to be very effective and instrumental in finding, developing, and disseminating varied activities to a new knowledge as well as significantly beneficial for improving the welfare, justice, and peace. He also pointed out the award is aimed at encouraging researchers to work and develop their capabilities. He also said that the award is also intended to inspire Indonesian young generation to develop research to the development of science.
Untuk meningkatkan iptek atau inovasi.
To develop science and technology through award is by delivering the award towards scientists. It means that we support them. Secondly, it's about inspirations to the young generation.
Kita sudah mendorong dia. Yang kedua, inspirasi bagi yang muda-muda.
There were four awardees of the 18th Habibie Award in 2016. They are Hendra Gunawan, Raymond Chandrawinata, Tommy Firman, and Sapardi Djoko Damono. Wardiman Jojonegoro also explained that there were five nominations for this year's award, namely the Basic Science, Medical Science, and Biotechnology, Engineering Science and Social Science, and Philosophy, Culture and Religion. Habibie Award is one of the main programs of the foundation that had been held since 1999. Habibie Award awardees were chosen through the selection process. Until now, there are 54 Indonesian researchers who have earned the award for their work. The last item, flood that occurred in Garut, West Java, is the impact of poor management of Cimanut Watershed. Head of Data and Information of the National Disaster Mitigation Agency, BNPB, Sutopo Purwonugroho said the watershed in Indonesia is in critical condition. He also said that from 450 watersheds in Indonesia, 118 watersheds are in critical condition. At the workshop with the team, the role of private sector responding to global issue held in Jakarta on Wednesday, Sutopo invites the business community to build a dam to prevent flooding. If for emergency response activities, I think the role of business and the community has been outstanding. But usually at the time of pre-disaster emergency, especially after the transition, it's usually very minimal. Well, this should be fixed together, how we put forward in the pre-disaster activities. Sutopo Purwonugroho further explained there are still many businesses. People that build their business activity in watershed that had impact on floods, landslide, and sedimentation. In addition, forest fires are still caused by the enterprises that burn the forest and land. Dasi urges the business community to keep its territory. Based on law, business institutions are responsible for maintaining the area of forest fires. That's news over the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Listener, our commentary today entitled Simplicity on the 75th anniversary of TNI. Wednesday, 5th of October, is the anniversary of Indonesian Forces TNI. This year, TNI commemorates its 41st anniversary. Long history has colored the existence of TNI. TNI's personnel and with Indonesian people had fought to defend Indonesian independence. Then they participated in political practice. But finally, they returned to their original duty to safeguard the sovereignty of the nation and the state of Indonesia. But on the 71st anniversary in 2016, it seems that there is something unusual. People do not see any military deployment and spectacular main weapon-resistant alutsista. TNI chose simplicity by holding puppet show, but still with the spirit of professionalism in commemoration of its anniversary. TNI Chief General Gatot Nurmantio said the military did not carry out large-scale ceremony because Indonesia continues to actively build and it needs a lot of substantial funding. Besides, there has been no new alutsista out by the military today. In 2015, TNI sold all the latest main weaponry system. General Gatot affirmed that in 2017, TNI will highlight again its new alutsista and then demonstrate how the defile parade will also be performed. In celebrating TNI's anniversary in Cilangkap, East Jakarta on Wednesday, October 5th, TNI Chief General Gatot Nurmantio confirmed that the commemoration of TNI anniversary was held simply in respected units by performing activities and engaging the people. TNI organized cataract surgery, house repairing, as well as poetry contests and highlighted cultural performance by the local people such as puppet show. Meanwhile, former Vice President Budiono under the reign of Susilo Bambang Yudhoyono hopes that at the 71 years old, Indonesia military are expected to be able to be the guardian of the Unitary Republic of Indonesia and democracy because TNI are the backbone to prevent the threat of foreign parties coming from outside Indonesia. Having been under the Minister of Defense, TNI has undergone changes of military mindset. The military professionalism is now at stake. Although some political parties want to engage the military in the political arena, such as by allowing them to vote, the neutrality of the military must be maintained. Listener, that was commentary today, read by Rahmana.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia. Today in History. A compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Hello, listener. It's nice to see you again in our daily program Today in History over RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Well, we begin our program with an event that happened on October 6, 1951, when Oktoberfries Meyerhoft passed away. Oktoberfries Meyerhoft was born in Hanover at the Theaterplatz 16A, the son of wealthy Jewish parents. In 1912, he moved to the University of Kiel, where he became professor in 1918. In 1922, he was awarded the Nobel Prize in Medicine with Archibald Vivian Hill for his work on muscle metabolism, including glycolysis. In 1929, he became one of the directors of the Kaiser Wilhelm Institute for Medical Research, a position he held until 1938. Fleeing the Nazi regime, he moved to Paris in 1938. He then moved to the United States in 1940. Where he became a guest professor at the University of Pennsylvania in Philadelphia. In recognition of his contribution to the study of glycolysis, the common series of reactions from the pathway in urine, urocarian knots is known as the Ebden-Meyerhoft-Parnas pathway. Merhof died in the Philadelphia at the age of 67. The next event was in 1973 when the Yom Kippur War was begun. The Yom Kippur War, Ramadan War or October War, was a war fought by the coalition of Arab states led by Egypt and Syria against Israel from October 6 to 25, 1973. The fighting mostly took place in the Sinai and the Golan Heights, territories that had been occupied by Israel since the Six-Day War of 1967. The then Egyptian president Anwar Sadat wanted also to reopen the Suez Canal. The war began when the Arab coalition launched a joint surprise attack on the Israeli position in the Israeli-occupied territories on Yom Kippur, the holiest day in Judaism, which also occurred that year during the Muslim holy month of Ramadan. Egyptian and Syrian forces crossed six fire lines to enter the Sinai Peninsula and the Golan Heights respectively. Both United States and the Soviet Union initiated massive resupply efforts to their respective allies during the war, and this led to a near confrontation between the two nuclear superpowers. And the last event was in 1981 when the assassination of Anwar Sadat occurred. The assassination of Anwar Sadat occurred on 6 October 1981. Anwar Sadat, the former president of Egypt, was assassinated during the annual victory parade held in Cairo to celebrate Operation Badr 1973, during which the Egyptian army had crossed the Suez Canal and taken back a small part of the Sinai Peninsula from Israel at the beginning of the Yom Kippur War. A fatwa approving the assassination had been obtained from the Omar Abdul Rahman, a cleric later convicted in the USA for his role in the 1993 World Trade Center bombing. The assassination was undertaken by members of the Egyptian Islamic Jihad. Listener, that was Today in History, read by Rahman.
Today in History, a compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Focus, daily news and events.
Listener, it's nice to see you again with me, Rahmana, in our regular program, Focus. The theme of today's focus is that to develop Indonesian economy, people ask to buy local products. Stay tuned in www.poi.go.id. The founder of Buy Indonesian Movement, Happy Trenggono, calls for all Indonesian people to develop the economy and to defend Indonesia by buying and marketing local products. Actually, domestic products are able to compete against imported ones from foreign countries. Unfortunately, handmade products are not all present in the market. That's because the character of Indonesian nation to depend local product is very low. This was affirmed by chairwoman of Buy Indonesian Movement, Happy Trenggono, when opening the exhibition Congress of Buy Indonesian Movement at Smesco Building in Jakarta on last Monday. Happy says that the free trade carried out by Indonesia and many countries is a new problem for domestic industry. Therefore, imported products into Indonesia are usually cheaper than similar products made domestically. Some agreements agreed by Indonesia, such as ASEAN Economic Community, AEC, and ASEAN-China Free Trade Area, AFTA, bring about strong pressure to domestic products. Products from countries of AEC and AFTA, such as electronics, manufacturing, textile, and food, have cheaper prices when entering into Indonesia. Happy Trenggono said in order to curb imported products, Indonesian people must have the desire to buy their domestic products. He also said that buying products of domestic industry or the products of micro, small and medium enterprises in the country will give a multiplier effect. The markets that need products in the country will make the domestic industries and other businesses to increase the quantity of products. If Indonesian people are not aware to buy domestic products, it will be difficult for Indonesia to build its economy. Meanwhile, committee chairman of the exhibition of Buy Indonesian Movement, Iskandar Sreger, explained that this event highlighted a wide range of products and masterpieces of Indonesian people, such as aircraft turboprop named R80 designed and developed by the family of former President B.J. Habibie and the products of agriculture industry, cosmetic until daily necessities. Iskandar Siregar also said if Indonesian people want to see Indonesian economy increase, the economy should start from the people themselves by mobilizing to market the domestic products in the country. They do not have to rely on the government. The Exhibition Congress and Buy Indonesian Movement held in Smesco, Jakarta on 3 to October 5, 2016 also displayed children products. This event also carried out business seminars and interpreters as well as a roundtable discussion joined by many key figures. The activity of Buy Indonesian Movement is currently performed in more than 30 campuses, schools and community organizations and dozens of districts in Indonesia. Happy Trenggan also claimed that the movement in Kulon Progo is successful to reduce the poverty rate to 5% within 4 years. Listener, that was Focus Today, read by Rahmana. Here news in brief, read by Rahmana. The Surabaya City Legislative Council Special Committee for Drafting a Bylaw on Health will soon deliberate on the rules regarding employment of foreign medical workers at the city's hospitals. Maritime Affairs and Fisheries Minister Susi Pujastuti says that she is investigating the alleged use of Indonesian identity cards or KTP by the Philippine fishermen to fish in Indonesian waters. She also states that investigation into the case is almost completed and those allegedly involved in such activities had been arrested. Disaster challenges in Indonesia will increase, head of data and information of the National Disaster Mitigation Agency, BNPT, Sutopo Purwonugroho said that relying on the National Disaster Mitigation Agency and the community support is not enough to cope with the disaster in Indonesia. Chairman of Foundation for Development of Human Resources in Science and Technology, Wardiman Jojonegoro in Jakarta on Wednesday encouraged the Indonesian government to continue to make efforts to develop research in Indonesia. Foundation for Development of Human Resources in Science and Technology confers Habibie Award to 4 scientists who have contributed to the development of science, technology, and culture of Indonesia. Flood that occurred in Garut, West Java is the impact of the poor management of Cimanuk Waterside. Head of Data and Information of National Disaster Mitigation Agency BNPB Sutopo Purwonugroho said the waterside in Indonesia is in critical condition. That's news in brief from the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You're still with us, RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz for English program. You can also listen to our broadcast on internet at en.voi.co.id.
Let's listen to various information of Indonesian arts and culture in a daily segment of Indonesian Wonder.
Hello listener, it is with great pleasure that we meet you again in Indonesian Wonder, a daily segment featuring tourism, culinary, art, the fine art and culture from various regions across Indonesia. In today's edition, we'll invite you to travel to the Watu Muju River in Purbalingga. Stay tuned. Listener, Panusupan Village is one of many villages in Purbalingga, a province in Central Java. The village has become one of the most popular tourist destinations in Purbalingga. Panusupan has a natural village atmosphere and is rich with art and culture. Entering the village, you will be greeted with a breath of cool air and beautiful green trees. In Purbalingga, tourists can enjoy a wide range of attractions, including Rumah Pohon Kenangan or the Memories Tree House, Watumuju River, Jembatan or Bridge Selfie, and Jembatan or Bridge Cinta. Listener, in today's edition of Indonesian Wonder, we recommend you one attraction in particular during your visit to Purbalingga, the Watumuju River. The Watumuju River is incredibly unique and has an unrivaled beauty and exotism that excite and inspire tourists to visit the region. The river is located in a hidden place with rocks and towering on its bank. There are many trees near the river, and the water in Watumuju River refreshes those who visit it. In addition to refreshing visitors, the water is swift and clear. Shiny black cliffs also choke the river, so many tourists say the river is the Black Canyon of Purbalingga. One of interesting activities for tourists on the Watumuju River is downriver from the village. Before tourists can partake in a rafting adventure, they have to pay an entrance fee of 7,000 rupiah, which includes admission and parking fees. Before walking along the river's edge, tourists are required to wear a life jacket and helmet. As a tourist, you are also required to warm up, stretching the muscles out in order to avoid a fatal injury during rafting. The river trip takes nearly 3 hours and of course is accompanied by tour guides. Listeners, during the rafting, you can enjoy views of the rock wall textures and clear spring water, which can drink. Additionally, you will encounter many small waterfalls, another attraction tourists enjoy courtesy of the river. Feel free to stop and enjoy each and every waterfall. Traveling down the Watumuju is something that should never be missed by tourists traveling to the area. Finally, in order to gather memorable moments properly, bring a waterproof camera. Listener, that was today's edition of Indonesian Wonder, where we chatted about Watumuju River. We will meet again tomorrow with some more interesting topics. Sampai jumpa.
Miscellany on Indonesia. A segment featuring various actual information.
Hello listener, welcome back to Miscellany. In today's edition of Miscellany, we'll bring you some information about the 12th Indonesian films that will be played in Tokyo International Film Festival. Listener, the 29th Tokyo International Film Festival will be held on October 25th to November 3rd. Interestingly, in this year's implementation, there are 12 Indonesian films will be played in the International Festival. 11 Indonesian films will be played in Crosscut Asia section, while the other one will be played in Asian Future section. The Crosscut Asia category will play various Asian films focusing on a country, director, actors, or a certain theme. In this Tokyo International Film Festival, Crosscut Asia selected Indonesia as its focus with the theme Colorful Indonesia. The film Atira will be played in Crosscut Asia section along with 10 others Indonesian film. The film directed by Riri Riza will release in theaters on September 29. Besides Atira, Crosscut Asia will also play Catatan Dodol Calon Dokter, which is directed by Iva Isfansyah. The film starring by Adipati Dolken, Tika Bravani and Aureli Moreman will play a premiere on October 27, 2016. Then there is also a musical film entitled Ini Kisah Tiga Darah, which is directed by Mia Dinata and starring by Shanti Paredes, Tara Basro, Tatiana Akman, and senior actress Titi Puspa. The film Ini Kisah Tiga Darah is inspired by a phenomenal film made by Usmar Ismail entitled Tiga Darah, which was released in 1956. The newest Nia Dinata's film was played on September 1st. Listener, besides those three films, Crosscut Asia also shows Philosophy Coffee, directed by Angga Dwi Masa Songko, Sendiri Diana Sendiri, directed by Camilla Andini, Fiksi, directed by Muli Surya, and Someone's Wife in the Boat of Someone's Husband, directed by Edwin. Three films directed by Teddy Surya Atmaja, namely About a Woman, Something in the Way, and Lovely Man, also included in the category. One of all films with restored versions, Lewat Jam Malam, that was released in 1954, directed by Umar Ismail, is chosen to be played in Crosscut Asia. Besides those 11 films, one of Indonesian films is chosen to play in Asian Future section entitled Salawaku, directed by Prita Gita Aryanegara. The film is about two people's journey with Seram Island in Moluccas as the background. That was today's edition of Miscellany with the theme 12 Indonesian Films is to play in Tokyo International Film Festival. I'm Nuka Kusumawati. I'll see you again next week in the next editions of Miscellany. Have a great day and sampai jumpa.
We'll meet again tomorrow with another miscellany on Indonesia.
Music Corner, presenting various kinds of Indonesian music and songs from the Voice of Indonesia.
Hello listeners of RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, wherever you are. Welcome back to Music Corner, a musical segment which introduces you to Indonesian original music, either traditional or modern ones. Today's edition will present you to an Indonesian talented pop singer, Harvey Maliholo. To initiate the segment, let's enjoy the first song sung by Harvey Maliholo, entitled Dara.
Dara, dalam gerakanmu, gemulai kau menari seiring nada syahdu.
dan penuh pesona. Binar bola matamu dan senyum yang menawan menggetarkan jiwa. Oh Dara, kau pikat hati yang tak mengerti apa arti senyum di sela-sela tarianmu. Namun sikap wajahku telah hilang di tepi gairah cinta yang begitu dalam. Ku cari kau kesana, ku cari kau kesini, ke ujung dunia pun tak peduli.
Harvey's talent in singing is inherited from his grandfather, who has a good talent in singing and popular in Indonesia during the post-independence of Indonesia. Bram Aceh. Harvey's grandfather is active in the Association of Hawaiian Music. No wonder if Harvey following his grandfather in singing, who has a golden voice. Harvey also has a golden voice, which has been proven in some Indonesian pop song festivals. Harvey has always been a winner. After he won the radio and television singing contest in 1998, his debut began to shine. A lot of recording companies scrambled to record his voice to be commercialized, especially after he made a duet with an Indonesian female singer, Rafika Duri. His popularity is then getting more increased. Harvey and Rafika Duri created some duet albums and spread in Indonesian music industries. Well, listener, let's listen to the coming song by Harvey and Rafika Duri.
Sinar matahari mutiara sebersih salju. Bila ku usap rambutmu, permata hati.
Song Cinta Pertama has a strength of tone with good lyrics, which is related to first love that become the sweet memory belongs to everyone. Harvey's popularity lasted only for a decade, although his songs are still enjoyed by Indonesian music lovers. And to end this program, we will listen to a song from Harvey. Happy listening and sampai jumpa.
Menggapai dalam anganku saat ku ingat dirimu menyentuh kalbuku. Hanyalah bayanganmu hadir dalam rinduku. seakan tersenyum untukku menatapku. Ku makin merindukanmu sampai ke dalam jantungku. Oh, merintih hatiku kini memanggil namamu. Apakah kau merasakan hal yang sama saat ku memanggil namamu saat ini? Ku makin merindukanmu sampai ke dalam jantungku. Merintih hatiku kini memanggil namamu. Oh, ku makin merindukanmu sampai ke dalam jantungku. Hatiku kini rindukanmu.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Thank you.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You're still with us, RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz for English program. You can also listen to our broadcast on internet at en.voi.co.id.
Starts bright in the noon, I'm leaving today. I want to be a part of it, New York, New York. These vagabond shoes are longing to stray right through the very heart of it, New York, New York. I want to wake up in a city that doesn't sleep and find I'm king of the hill, top of the heap. These little town blues are melting away. I'm gonna make a brand new start of it in old New York.
Very soon I will be there.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz and 11785 kHz for English program, or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id. Send your criticism and suggestions to en.voi.co.id, or send your letter to Voice of Indonesia, RRI World Service, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat, No. 4 and 5, Jakarta, or P.O. Box 1157, Jakarta 10011, Indonesia. And join us on Facebook, Voice of Indonesia, and Twitter, VoI Indonesia.